Today's passage is Amos 9:11-15. In that day, I will raise up the booth of David that is fallen, and repair its breaches, and raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old, that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the nations who are called by my name, declares the Lord who does this. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes, him who sows the seed. The mountains shall drip sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. I will restore the fortunes of my people Israel, and they shall rebuild the ruined cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink their wine, and they shall make gardens and eat their fruit. I will plant them on their land, and they shall never again be uprooted out of the land that I have given them, says the Lord your God. These are the last five verses of the book of Amos. If you've been following along throughout Amos, a major theme has been the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is coming, Amos prophesies, and on it, from what we've read, there will be judgment for all the sins of the people. Remember, in a previous chapter, Amaziah, who was one of the so-called prophets of Israel at the time, basically said, "No way, Amos. There's no way that could happen, where Israel would fall, like you're saying. Go prophesy somewhere else." However, as much as people were in denial, it wouldn't stop the day of the Lord from coming, where there would be wailing instead of singing, lots of mourning, and even if people wanted to seek out God's words at the time, they can't. Thus far, it's been a pretty grim picture for the Israelites, for receiving the punishment for their sins. Now, there have been a few glimmers of hope throughout the book, though. Some pictures of God holding back. For example, a couple verses before this passage, in verse 8, Amos prophesies, "Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from the surface of the ground, except that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob." God will destroy the sinful kingdom, except he will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob. He holds back in his judgment. And even the way that it's phrased, "the house of Jacob," brings to mind how God remembers his covenantal promises to Jacob way back in Genesis, along with his forefathers, Isaac and Abraham, that God would bless them and make them a great nation. In other words, that God has chosen them to be his people that he would be with. So these last five verses of Amos are markedly different from most of the rest of the book, which has been about God's judgment on Israel. God, of course, is not contradicting himself. Though he will judge his people for his sins, he also has a plan to restore them. Let's look at verse 11 first. "In that day I will raise up the booth of David that is fallen, and repair its breaches, and raise up its ruins, and rebuild it as in the days of old." The nation is now called the Booth of David that is fallen. Not a mighty city or house or temple, but just a booth that is fallen. And God will raise up the booth. Note all of the verbs here. Raise up, repair, raise up, and rebuild. And who is doing all this? God is. God is saying, "I will raise up, I will repair its breaches," and so on. God's heart is not to destroy his people completely. He intends to show mercy to a people undeserving. Moving on to verse 12, "that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by my name." This is a remarkable statement because not only will a remnant of Israel be restored, but also the remnant of Edom and all the nations who are called by God's name. Edom was never considered part of Israel. Going back to the story of Jacob and Esau, Esau was the one who gave up his birthright, and Jacob was the one who received God's blessing through Isaac. Yet here is a prophecy that there be a group of people from Edom, as well as other nations, who will be called by God's name. So the people who heard this prophecy would start to wonder that this is bigger than just Israel being restored to its former glory. It'd be more than that because in Israel's history, they have not lived out experiencing God's blessing for more than itself. There hasn't really been a time in the Old Testament where all the nations have been blessed through Israel. And as readers today, we also know that, again, this is bigger than the nation of Israel just being restored to its former state. Because throughout history, it just hasn't happened. It's not as if after the exile, Israel returned to being a thriving nation, like in the days of King David. We know that this promise is actually being fulfilled through the true son of David, Jesus. Only in Jesus do people from all nations come to experience the peace of being in God's kingdom. In Jesus, people can experience the fruitfulness that's described in verses 13 and 14. Again, Israel has not experienced the physical abundance of mountains dripping with sweet wine, or even from verse 15, being planted on their land not to be uprooted again. So I think it's safe to say that this is a picture of the abundance living in God's spiritual kingdom that comes through Jesus. That's how we can experience being planted in a land not to be uprooted again. Those who put their faith in Jesus inherit God's eternal kingdom that cannot be shaken. And the restoration and rebuilding can be thought of as a healing as people return to Jesus. This passage is very relatable to us because we are tasting parts of it coming true. We will see it fully one day with the new heavens and the new earth. And in the meantime, we can experience some of it whenever we are seeking God's will here on earth, whenever we are seeking His kingdom. As a church, we want to be part of God's restoration for His people. In the midst of much spiritual, physical, economic brokenness, we are called to be messengers of good news. To quote Pastor Barry from this past Sunday, we are all sent on a mission with a message and a method given by Jesus. So let's pray for vision to see how we can be living out these verses, that we would live with purpose, being agents of God's restoration. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you for these verses, and Lord, we thank you that we can be living them out right now, God, because it's not just for Israel, the nation at the time, but Lord, it's for all of your people, including us. Lord, help us to see this good news. Help us to see this grand prophecy that Amos gave. That God, we can be part of this restoration and being part of your kingdom, which cannot be shaken. Lord, help us to see that we are called to be parts of this. Lord, we lift up our hearts to you. In Jesus' name we pray.